This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, September 4th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Illinois Public Radio's Charlie Schlenker will tell us about a pipeline company wanting to run its crude oil from the tar sands of Western Canada all the way to Illinois refineries. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. A group of young people have questions about their sometimes tense relations with police, and they're taking their concerns directly to the officers this week. The peer ambassadors are teenagers who are taking part in counseling and advocacy programs with the Mental Health Center of Champaign County. Their adult supervisor, Karen Sims, says some of them have had their own run-ins with the law in the past or know friends who have.
So these are personal issues for them, and so they're intimately involved, but they're at a point where they're really trying to make a difference, but feel like that they need to kind of come up with ways of partnering with police so that they can do that well, so that they're not adversaries, that they're actually allies.
Thursday evening, police representatives will meet with the youth group. Both sides hope to reduce conflict between them. Sims says this is the only event that was designed by young people to solicit input from their own peers. The meeting takes place Thursday at the New Hope Church of God in Christ at 5:30. The city of Urbana is accepting applications for its civilian police review board through the rest of the month. Mayor Laurel Prussing says the best candidates will have a reputation for fair-mindedness and integrity for public service. A task force spent about 2 years developing the concept with the idea that no agency should be responsible for investigating itself when citizen complaints come up. And Prussing says she doesn't expect the group to meet often.
The experience of much larger cities is that there aren't that many complaints. I think it was San Jose, California, had 25 complaints. So I would expect relatively few complaints. But this is something that's in place that says if you're not satisfied with the initial investigation, you do have an appeal process.
The review board is expected to consist of about 7 members. Pressing hopes to get one applicant to represent each ward in the city. All candidates will complete a training program prior to being part of the group, and the review board will hold occasional meetings to discuss internal procedures. Applications will be taken through September 30th. They can be picked up at City Hall or through the city's website at city.urbana.il.us. A preliminary autopsy conducted yesterday confirms that a toddler from Danville drowned in her family's backyard pool on Sunday. The Vermilion County Coroner's Office says final reports on the death of 20-month-old Katie Inglesby will be processed over the next few weeks. Dozens of rescue workers searched a central Illinois creek yesterday for a drowning victim, only to find the whole thing was a hoax by 3 children. Police say 2 children told them their 9-year-old friend fell into Coon Creek in Clinton. It's a popular place for children to catch frogs. Authorities finally got a confession from one of the boys, but only after police, firefighters, and city workers spent part of their Labor Day wading through muddy waters. One of the boys told authorities he orchestrated the plan so his parents wouldn't be upset with him for getting wet. Clinton Mayor Ed Wallett says the response of rescue workers was excellent, but he says it's unfortunate that the response was made for no reason and that workers had to wade through the mud and muck on a holiday. After more than 2 months of hearing evidence and testimony, the jury in the Family Secrets mob trial is expected to begin deliberations today. Mike Ree has more.
The government's case originally began with 11 defendants, all allegedly tied to the infamous Chicago outfit. One by one, that 11 was whittled down to 5. Some defendants died or were dropped from the case for health reasons. Others pleaded guilty. One of those was Nicholas Calabrese, a confessed former hitman for the mob who says he took part in at least 13 murders. He testified his brother, Frank Calabrese Sr., took part in many of the killings. Defense attorneys have attacked the credibility of that testimony. Calabrese Sr. and his 4 other co-defendants have pleaded not guilty to the government's charges of racketeering conspiracy, loan sharking, and murder. I'm Mike Ree.
The Illinois House will be in session today, and only for today. As Amanda Beneke reports, the House is slated to deal with a single issue, the Chicago region's financially bleeding mass transit network.
Without more money, the Chicago Transit Authority, Metra, and Pace say they'll cut routes and hike fares on September 16th. The House is scheduled to vote on a bailout plan. After voting on that measure, representatives have been told they can go home. The House Speaker spokesman, Steve Brown, says the chamber will not take action this week on the budget. When he signed the spending plan into law, Governor Rod Blagojevich cut millions of dollars worth of local projects representatives had requested. Brown says he's seen an unprecedented outcry over the cuts.
Devastating effect of the cuts are very widespread.
Brown says rather than rush it, the House will take time to examine the impact the cuts will have. He says many of the groups counting on the state funding are looking for a forum to air their concerns. He says the House may hold regional public hearings. Blagojevich says he cut pork from the budget. He says he'll instead use that money to go towards expanding health care coverage. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
A former first lady is drawing crowds in Springfield. Officials at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum say an exhibit on the 16th president's wife is going to be extended for another month because it's so popular. The exhibit is called Mary Todd Lincoln, First Lady of Controversy, and will now run through November 30th. It includes artifacts like jewelry, clothing, photos, and letters that haven't been seen in public before. The exhibit walks visitors through Mary Todd Lincoln's life, from her childhood, courtship with Abraham Lincoln, and time as First Lady. The display also explores the death of her son, Lincoln's assassination, and the estrangement from her eldest son. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. McLean County farmers are hearing from a pipeline company that wants to pump thick crude oil from the tar sands of Western Canada down to refineries in Illinois. Illinois Public Radio's Charlie Schlenker has more on the proposed line from Gridley to just east of Downs, south to Patoka.
The oil transporter Enbridge Energy has a plan for 1,000 miles of new pipeline to address what company public affairs officer Joe Martucci says is a demonstrated need. An International Energy Agency report, Martucci says, shows the market for Canada's vast reserves of gloppy crude oil will grow over the next 5 years.
And the reason is that production on a worldwide basis is declining, while at the same time demand is increasing. So they're forecasting that the market's going to get even tighter than it is already.
The company is seeking formal approval from the Illinois Commerce Commission. It is also holding voluntary meetings with farmers trying to diffuse resistance and lay groundwork to make cash offers for easements, permanent permission to bury a pipeline at least 5 feet under some of the world's best farmland.
We don't have much faith in Enbridge or any oil company. Not any faith at all.
For farmers like that one, who read newspaper accounts of another company's New York oil spills left uncleaned for 15 years, there's distinct suspicion. And a group of landowners trying to fight the alignment before the Illinois Commerce Commission is questioning many of the company's assumptions. Regulators have already signed off on the Wisconsin to Flanagan, Illinois leg of the pipeline, but Scott Clements says that doesn't mean the rest is a public need.
The first half of the project actually comes down to a second pipeline at Pontiac. And at that point, that oil can either make it to Chicago or to Cushing, Oklahoma. It may be that it's in the public need to get to that point, but does it have to go from there all the way south?
Clement also questions whether the proposed alignment should come within a quarter mile of a site pegged for a future Unit 5 elementary school. And there are other local conditions to take into account. An often mentioned worry is the planned route passes under critical waterways. What if, Jim Ondeck of Hudson says, there were to be an earthquake?
Now, if that cracks the pipe under the Mackinac River or Money Creek, you're now flooding Bloomington's water supply. What remediation plans do you have? The people in Canada may not care what happens in McLean County, but we would like to know how this is going to affect our environment over the long course of time. This is 30 to 50 years we're talking.
Enbridge's Public, Federal, and Regulatory Affairs Director Denise Hampshire acknowledges that in a 1,000-mile pipe, occasionally there will be an emergency. Someone will hit the line with a backhoe or something else will break it, allowing a 1,000 PSI gush till sensors and valves shut off the flow, hopefully in minutes. Hampshire says Enbridge must report any spill over 5 gallons, and they have to be ready to step up to the plate and get the oil out of there in a matter of days. But Hampshire also says on critical waterways, The company takes extra precautions.
You may do thicker wall pipe. You may end up burying it. You may stake it with signs so that you lower the risk of third-party damage. You may aerial patrol it more frequently. We send electronic instruments down the inside so that we can check for very early signs of corrosion all the quicker.
Enbridge has not yet studied whether the route under Money Creek will require extra safety measures. The company offer on the table for easements could work out to about $30,000 a mile for a strip of land 60 feet wide, based on average land values, plus payments for crop losses over 4 years due to construction, plus an amount for a wider temporary easement. Even farmers and landowners who might accept the probability of pipeline approval, though, are not sure the company is offering them a square deal. Ed Kelly of Normal balks at a one-time payment for a permanent easement and signing away rights to plant trees or put up buildings over the pipeline. If what he gives up is permanent, Kelly says, the revenue coming in ought to be long-lasting as well, just as it is with annual payments for wind farm turbines.
They obviously have no problem sharing the wealth with the person that has to endure putting up with what this, all the risks that are handled, and I think that you folks need to reconsider that. I know you don't want to set a precedent because you've gotten away with it until you reached McLean County, but nothing stays the same forever. And I think we're entitled to that.
The company is not likely to budge on that point. Enbridge spokeswoman Denise Hampshire says the issue of annual versus one-time payments is not just an industry standard, it's a public policy question.
It would be a departure from that national standard for all types of utilities, and we're not the ones that set that. It gets back to the basic premise of, does one or two people benefit at the cost of the other users of that utility?
To allow the company to move quickly, Enbridge has asked the Illinois Commerce Commission for the power of eminent domain to force easement agreements once the project is approved. Farmers say it's hard to negotiate with that prospect hanging over their heads. It's also true the company isn't keen on delays and negative PR that a series of lawsuits over prices would bring. But for the next 9 months or so, the battle over pipeline prospects lies before the Illinois Commerce Commission. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, expect hot and sunny conditions today. The high around 95 degrees, mostly cleared this evening, the low around 62. Mostly sunny, hot tomorrow, the high around 92 degrees. For Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, the low around 65. Mostly cloudy Thursday, there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high around 88 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, September 4th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wil.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bosser, AM 580 News.